If you've got a newborn baby or about to have your baby, you do need to listen to this essential episode. And if you've ever felt like your baby is crying for no reason or wondered why they are, or if you're overstimulating, understimulating, or just getting it wrong, then this episode is for you. In this episode of Sense by Meg Forer, we unpack how sensory input shapes your baby's state and why understanding this changes everything about how you respond. You're going to learn about how your baby's central nervous system processes sound, touch, movement, light, and smell, why babies move through different states from the calm alert state, which is the magical state, through to crying, how to read those early subtle signals. So how do you know when your baby's saying I'm coping versus I need help or this is too much stimulation? Also how to tell the differences between hunger, tiredness, and sensory overload, and exactly how to respond at each stage to calm your baby before the crying escalates. This is an amazing episode. It is based on chapter 2 and chapter 4 of the bestseller Baby Sense, and it will help you stop guessing, stop reacting just to crying, and start responding confidently to what your baby is telling you long before they cry. So if you want fewer meltdowns, more calm moments, and a deeper sense of connection with your baby, this episode is all you need today. And if you know a new parent who feels overwhelmed, confused, or unsure, then please do share this episode with them. Welcome to Sense by Meg Forer, where we make sense of the science and art of parenting. Parenting is grey, gritty, and beautiful all at once. And my life's work as a healthcare professional is helping parents feel more confident in a season that can feel really overwhelming. In each episode, we share honest conversations with real mums, dive into the science with experts, and simply make sense of it all in practical ways. This is your space. You're not alone. You're held. So let's unpack the journey of a lifetime with sense. I will never forget the day that my firstborn was born. And he surprised me completely. In the first few hours of his life, he lay awake, calmly just staring at me. He seemed so alert and so present and so ready for the world. I was amazed by this. What I didn't fully realize at the time was that his brain, although beautifully primed to learn, was also completely immature. Dan's had no filter yet. He couldn't decide what sensory information mattered and what didn't. And every sound, every touch, and every movement flooded into his nervous system all at once. And although it was a natural delivery, it was in hospital, and there were bright lights and a whole team around, and he was completely bombarded by all of the sensory information. But not long after that calm, alert beginning, James began to shut down. And having had a little snack at the breast and stared into my eyes for a while, he fell asleep. That falling asleep wasn't because he was bored or because he was even tired, because he wasn't tired in the way that we understand tiredness, but because his central nervous system had reached capacity. And this pattern of taking in the world, becoming overwhelmed, and then shutting down is the story of early infancy. And understanding this is one of the most powerful parenting tools you'll ever have. So today is the most incredible masterclass in learning about the way that your baby behaves and what they respond to. And when you start to understand their different states of infancy and how they respond to sensory information, I promise you, it is an absolute parenting hack. So all of the states that your baby moves through, like my little James, moment by moment, is affected and shaped by sensory input. So at birth, your baby's senses are switched on, but they are not completely equally mature. The sense of touch, as an example, is one of the most developed senses. So your baby feels your hands, your warmth, the shift from the contained womb world to the open air. And through this incredible sense of touch, which is actually the most developed sense, his brain begins to form a map of his own body. And that map later is going to support movement, coordination, learning, and even emotional regulation. So later on in podcasts you'll hear of mine, when we talk about crawling and learning, the very foundation of that happens from actually in utero as well, and certainly from birth, and that is information through the sense of touch. On the other hand, the sense of sight is actually the least developed sense. It's super blurry. Your baby can see when they're born, and of course, 100 years ago, they thought babies were blind at birth. They're not. But they see best at about 20 centimeters, which is a miracle. It's exactly the distance from your breast to your eyes that your baby can see in absolute perfect acuity. So when they're feeding or cuddling, they're able to actually see your face. And they also see best when contrast, when images have high contrast, like red and white, or black and red, or black and white. Those are high contrast images, and they're much easier for your little one to process, and it also helps them to be able to hone their visual skills. Sounds are suddenly loud after birth. So in the womb, the sound was muted and rhythmic, and outside it's sharp and unpredictable. And this is why loud and irregular noises are so stimulating and so disconcerting for little ones. I'm sure you would have seen your baby do what's called the Amaro or startle reflex, where if there's a very loud noise near them, their hands go out and come back into the middle. And that's because they are very sensitive to sounds. Working with your sense of sound is also, of course, your movement sense, which is also found in your inner ear. Now, you can imagine in your inner ear, in this vestibular system, your baby was, when they were floating in the womb, they were kind of floating, turning upside down, moving, and they actually felt about 50 times lighter because of the support that water gave them. Now suddenly they feel about 50 times heavier, and they have to work against gravity. So the sense of movement and balance, or the vestibular system, is now working over time. And then there's the sense of smell. Your baby's sense of smell is astonishingly advanced at birth. And actually, even in utero, your baby was already responding to tastes and smells, and by swallowing your amniotic fluid a little bit more frequently when it was sweet, and so on. Smell is also very closely linked to emotion, which is why calming smells matter a lot more than we actually realize. So now all of the sensory information that we've spoken about comes directly into your baby's brain, and it affects your baby's state. Now, before we start to unpack how your baby signals their state and what I could have known about James becoming overstimulated right from the day he was born, we need to first of all unpack what the states are. So you've obviously got your two very clear states, which is being asleep or being awake, two states, okay? But between those, there's a predictable range of states that babies move through throughout the day. So obviously the lower states of arousal are your state of very deep sleep and your state of light sleep. And both of those are your sleep states. Coming up, there are then four other states in the awake state. The one is the drowsy. So that's kind of when they've got very unfocused, staring into space, the thousand-yard stare, I call it. Coming up from the drowsy state, they become a little bit more focused, and they come into a state that we call the calm alert state. And the calm alert state is the golden state. It's really where they do all their learning. It's when those connections are made between brain cells. And then once they've had a lot of time in a calm alert state, they go into the active alert state, which is super overstimulating, where they're starting to have lots of frequent moves and maybe might look away and become irritable. And then, of course, finally, the top state, the distress state, is the crying state. And babies move through all of these states throughout the day. So the calm alert state, I just want to go back to it, is the state where all the learning happens best. Your baby is awake. They're often very focused. So their eyes are open. They're making eye contact with you. Their body is very still and they're very responsive. They look at faces in particular, they listen and they engage. But this particular state, which is your magical state for learning, is quite a fragile state in that very quickly our baby can escalate either into the active alert state and then crying, or down into the drowsy state and then asleep. So that it's a kind of a magical state. Too much stimulation, too many faces, too much noise, too much handling pushes them upwards into the active alert state. And suddenly your baby starts to kick and flail and becomes disorganized. And if that stimulation continues, it won't be long before your baby tips into crying. So that's kind of how they move up the states. Today's Dose of Sense is brought to you by ParentSense, the expert-based parenting app that gives you daily support from pregnancy to sleep, feeding, and daily routines. Take the guesswork out of parenting, download ParentSense today, and use the code SENSE50 for 50% off. On the other hand, calming input moves them down the scale. So while stimulation moves them up, calming moves them down. And so if your baby was in an active alert state and you did and was kicking and flailing and looking away and you did some calming strategies, you'd move him back into the calm alert state, maybe the drowsy state, and then to sleep. The important thing here is that this is magical information for you to know. And if you make a mistake and you miss a state and you don't notice the signals or you overstimulate your baby, that's no problem. Don't worry. Babies recover nicely from that. But when you understand their nervous system, you can really prevent things like colic and crying and help your baby to settle a lot more easily. The important thing is that your baby will tell you exactly how they are coping, and they'll give you lots of signals long before they start to cry. So, it's now time to have a look at the signals, how your baby signals their different states. So babies communicate through incredible signals, and we can call them early signals or early communications. Our late communications are things like crying, but our early communications are quite subtle at first, and they can become much louder or late when they become later. So there's four main categories of signals that you need to know about for your baby. So we spoke about the five states. We're now talking about the four main signals. So the first category of signals are called approach signals. And these are the signals when your baby says, I'm happy, I'm ready, come closer. And what you'll see is you'll see relaxed facial expressions, soft eye contact, smooth breathing, gentle movements, and maybe even when they get a bit older, a little coo or even a smile. These things tell you that your baby is in the calm, alert state. And this is the moment for interacting, talking, playing, feeding, and connection. And when I take us back to that very first vignette that I spoke about when James was lying in my arms straight after birth, making eye contact, this is the state he's in. And I have often felt that that kind of tight space of the womb environment and all that beautiful proprioception, that calming space that they come from, actually preps them for those first kind of 10, 15, maybe even an hour or even 2 hours after birth where they're in this calm alert state. And it is magical. So whatever you do in the early hours after your baby is born, as much as possible, really just connect with them, hold them, eye contact, feeding, eye contact. It's just a wonderful time for interaction. So that's our first type of signal. It's called approach signals. The second type of signal are the warning signals. And these are the signals that babies give that say, help me, I'm getting a bit overloaded. I'm becoming overstimulated. I'm moving from calm alert into active alert. Your baby may bring his hands to his face and start sucking on his fingers. He might clench his fists, stiffen his legs. If you've got a prem baby, they might do a salute, which is where they put their arms out straight in front of them. They might look drowsy, or they might even curl into a fetal position and or simply look away. And so these are all signals that your baby has had enough and you need to really be cautious, and you need to help them to self-soothe, because these are all little self-soothing attempts that they're doing. And this is often where, as new parents, we accidentally miss our baby and we misread their signals. We think finger sucking is hunger, looking away is boredom. But the reality is that finger sucking and looking away are early signals of overstimulation. So what your baby's actually saying to you is, please reduce the input. So if we respond here by lowering stimulation, holding quietly, swaddling, dim lights, we can actually often bring their state down and prevent that crying state altogether. All right, so the third category of signals is, of course, your fussing or stress signals. And this is your baby saying, back off, I have had enough. And our prem babies do this very, very clearly. So at this point, your baby's usually overwhelmed and they can't actually self-calm anymore. So this is things like squirming or arching or frantic movements or glassy eyes, grimacing, yawning, hiccups, going blue around the mouth, and irregular breathing. And all of these things lumped together say, I'm completely overstimulated, okay? And often we see this and we think, oh my goodness, my baby's about to start with colic. And that really is not true. It is very often that when your baby is starting to become overstimulated, they will actually end up crying. And so it's not necessarily colic and discomfort from the abdominal system, but it's actually that they are in sensory overload. And then finally, obviously, our fourth signal, which is our very loud signal, is crying. So crying is not the start of communication. It's their last resort. By the time your baby's crying inconsolably, his nervous system is disorganized and he needs containment, calm, and a reduction of the sensory input, not more stimulation. So very often we miss these early signals and we end up just dealing with the loudest ones. And that's often when we've got these babies that are so-called fussy, colicky, and very sensitive. All right. So how do we prevent this from happening? What can we do? So the answer lies in using sensory input intentionally. So just like caffeine or coffee stimulates adults and a tranquil massage calms us, sensory input can either stimulate or calm your baby. So let's think through the things that can actually calm them and also stimulate them. So deep touch pressure, neutral warmth, and slow rhythmical movements are all very soothing, okay? Another way to calm your baby down is to have some dim lighting, maybe even some white noise and some familiar smells. These are the things that calm your nervous system. And what I've always said in the book Baby Sense, and I also did it in the podcast at the beginning of the year, is if you want to know what's going to soothe your baby, you need to go back to the world of the womb. So listen to what I had said. Deep touch, like the squeeze of the uterus. Neutral warm, like the amniotic fluid. Slow rhythmical movement, like your rhythmical movement when you were pregnant. Dim lighting, it's dark in the womb. White noise, the sound of your body, and familiar smells. These things are just taking the womb world, reenacting them, and delivering them to your baby so that they can soothe. On the other side, there are things that are stimulating and can raise our baby's state and eventually make them more fussy. Things like light touch, unpredictable handling, bright lights, loud or fluctuating noise, strong smells. All of these things stimulate our babies. And these things are things that weren't available to them in the womb, and so they become overstimulating afterwards. So your aim with your newborn baby is not to remove stimulation completely, but to match that sensory input with your baby's state. So let's think about it. When your baby is calm and alert, interact. Because why? They're learning. It's so incredibly magical. When your baby gives warning signals, reduce the input. Less is more, okay? When your baby starts to fuss, remove them from stimulation and contain them with things like swaddling or settle them to sleep. And finally, when your baby cries, calm them first, because that's the way that you're going to connect with them. All right. So I want to kind of leave you with a little bit of a picture again of my little James. James, who had been obviously etched in my mind for those hours after his birth. But I'm now going to tell you about him at 6 weeks old. So at 6 weeks old, we decided to have him christened. And we took him up to Johannesburg and we attended a huge, busy family gathering. And everybody was there holding him, passing him around. He had a very scratchy lace christening dress that I had worn as a baby. And by the end of the day, can you imagine what happened? He started to scream. Luckily, by 6 weeks old, I started to recognize signals. So what I did was I swaddled him really, really tightly. And in the swaddle, which gave him the deep pressure, I placed him in a sling. So I had this amazing carrier that I used to carry him with. And that provided deep pressure, warmth, rhythmic movement, my smell and my voice. And what did we do? We didn't stick around where the loud noises were and the bright lights and the noise environment. We went for a walk through the garden. And slowly, at that point in the evening, James's body softened, his breathing slowed, and his nervous system settled. This wasn't spoiling him. And I never, ever thought, it never crossed my mind that I was spoiling him. I knew my baby was dysregulated and that I was the only secret to co-regulating or regulating with him. So that is what self-co-regulation is. He can't self-regulate. I'll do it for him. Over time, James learned to self-calm. He sucked his hands. He curled his body. He looked away when he had enough. And I learned those signals. And so he never had to get, well, he did occasionally, but he wouldn't have had to get to that crying stage because I would have picked it up earlier. So the goal is not to have a quiet baby, but to have a regulated baby and to help them to stay in that self-regulated state. So that is the magic of the sensory world of the womb and that we can replicate afterwards to keep containing our baby's states. So remember those states of infancy. And remember how magical that calm alert state is and the incredible things that you can do when your baby is in that calm alert state. Remember that your warning signs are your early signs. And if you don't watch them, they can escalate into crying and fussing. So that is the beginning of your journey, understanding your baby's states, understanding their signals. And I hope that you found some nuggets of wisdom in here that you can take away and work on with your baby. And please do comment below and tell us all about how you can put this into action. Thank you for joining me today. I hope today's conversation brought you a little more clarity, calm, and confidence on your parenting journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please do share it with a friend who needs to hear it today, and also go and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss out on an episode. I'll be back next week with another episode, same time, same place, and always here to support you. And in the meantime, download the ParentSense app to take the guesswork out of feeding, sleep, weaning, routines, and everything in between.